Welcome back. On this episode of The Checkdown, we talk about NBA free agency. That's literally all we do because there was so much going on. But here's your jam of the week. Tupac featuring Dr. Dre, California Love. California. With every star basically coming in to either the Lakers or the Clippers. But we'll get into that in a second. Let's give a quick recap because we've been gone for quite some time. What, 3 or 4 weeks now? We've been off the pod.
Yeah, at least 3 weeks, I think.
Mostly my fault. But yes, we've been gone for a while. So I got back from my honeymoon, little Ireland and Italy trip. Ate too much, had too much Guinness. But, you know, that's life.
How was the McDonald's over there?
We actually went to one McDonald's in Rome because it was like right before a tour we were going to go on and it was right across the street. So we grabbed it. Very nice McDonald's. Very, very nice.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, overall great trip, but great to be back.
Yeah. We had you went on your honeymoon and then we had a 4th of July week. Mm-hmm. I went on a couple of vacations, hung out together in an Airbnb, saw some crazy fireworks.
We did.
Felt like we were in a war zone for a couple hours, but it was a blast.
It was a blast. But, you know, eventually everyone's got to get back to work. And that's not what this is because this is fun. This is a podcast. So we're not even back to work yet, technically. Well, you are. I'm still on summer break. So I've got another couple of weeks here of just hanging out. But anyways, so California Love. Yes. Bunch of moves. NBA free agency was absolutely off the charts. You gave a stat to me the other day that 40% of the NBA was a free agent this offseason.
That is correct.
That's absolutely absurd.
Highest percentage in the history of the NBA, or I think any sport.
Really. Yeah, that seems really high.
Yeah.
Right?
Almost like half of the league could change teams.
If they wanted to. And a lot of them did.
Yeah, and I think what was big about it is it wasn't the bottom half of the league, right? It was the top 25% of the league as far as talent goes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the B squad that follows. So really, I think people had anticipated that the league was going to be turned upside down, mm-hmm. but we've seen big time free agency off seasons before and most people stay. So right. I was hesitant. I thought, I feel like it's going to be 3 or 4 people that jump ship, but I feel like most of the big stars will stay. That's what we've seen historically. Mm-hmm. Holy freaking crap. Was I wrong?
Well, and I feel like you said, historically they stay because the money is just too good to leave. Or to not leave, right? Like you stay with your home team and you're getting $50 million more over a 4-year contract than you are if you go somewhere else.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why they adjusted the CBA 2 or 3 years ago was to say, we want to create incentives for these players to stay in some of these smaller markets, Milwaukee, San Antonio, OKC, whatever, because mm-hmm. we're afraid of overloading, you know, LA, New York, Miami, Dallas and some of these bigger markets. We would like to see the league have a little more parity like the NFL does. I'm not sure that works.
Because now the players just figured out all they got to do is demand a trade or sit out for a year and they can basically get out of their contracts a year early and kind of have a little say in where they end up before they're actually a free agent.
They have so much power in today's NBA. It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, it's good. So with that being said, there was a lot of moves, a lot of big moves. Why don't you run through, I know you've got the list of like 40 guys. Why don't you run through a large majority of them, at least the ones that are really important to note about where people went?
Yeah, so my list encompasses people that stayed, re-signed, mm-hmm. but also people that left, right? Just free agency in general. I cut the list off at what I felt was irrelevant. Number one, Kawhi Leonard went from Toronto to the Clippers. He ended up signing only a 3-year deal.
Technically a 3-year deal with a player option.
Initially, it was reported to be a 4, so a little right. less exciting, but I could care less.
You know what I read? By not staying in Toronto and taking the max deal and going to the Clippers and doing what he did, shortening his contract, he took almost $100 million less.
Oh my gosh. And he has a little bit of an injury history.
Yeah.
So that says a lot about him. Anyway, let's try not to get bogged down after every announcement.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you run through and then I'll jump in later.
Okay. So Kevin Durant went from Golden State to the Nets. Kyrie Irving went from Boston to the Nets. Kemba signed with the Celtics. Klay Thompson decided to stay with Golden State. Kristaps Porzingis re-signed with Dallas. Jimmy Butler left to go to Miami. Tobias Harris signed a gigantic contract to stay in Philly. Chris Middleton signed a gigantic contract to stay in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've never even seen him play basketball. Vucevic for Orlando signed a big deal for Orlando. D'Angelo Russell ended up in Golden State. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Brogdon went from Milwaukee to the Pacers. J.J. Redick went from Philly to New Orleans. DeMarcus Cousins ended up with L.A. I think just a one-year deal. Al Horford went from Boston to the Sixers. Bojan Bogdanovic.
Mm-hmm. The big. That's not him. That's a different guy. Sorry, go ahead.
Went from the Pacers to the Jazz. Julius Randle ended up with the Knicks. Brook Lopez re-signed with the Bucks. DeAndre Jordan went to the Nets. Harrison Barnes re-signed with the Kings. Marcus Morris has committed to sign with the Spurs. Patrick Beverley staying with the Clippers. Terry Rozier signed with Charlotte. Trevor Ariza signed with the Kings. Ricky Rubio signed with the Suns. Rudy Gay is staying with the Spurs. Danny Green ended up with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Rose is in Detroit now. Jabari Parker is going to sign with the Hawks. And Kevin Looney is re-signing with the Warriors. And those are the relevant signings. And now I'm out of breath.
Because you just named off almost 40% of the NBA.
I didn't even go through all 44 changes. There were like 75 on the list that I pulled
off
the internet. And I picked the 44 most relevant. And then I had to skip some because there's just so many. I think I even left off your boy from Boston who's going to the Lakers is re-signing. Come on.
Who?
Rajon Rondo.
Oh, Rondo. Yeah.
Rondo, who I feel like is a big time player in the NBA, was like below the 44. And I was like, okay, I can't keep going.
So before we get into actual players and where they're at, what caught me by surprise the most after seeing every single guy either re-sign or go to a new team with the contract was the absurd amount of money that is being thrown around in the NBA.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Tobias Harris, 5 years, $180 million. Klay Thompson, 5 years, $190 million. Kawhi Leonard, 3 years, $105 million. All of that guaranteed with a player option for another.
But those guys make sense to me, right? Like, those guys are proven. If they're not championship winners, they're all-stars or this and that. Tobias Harris.
I know.
Reportedly agreed to a 5-year, $180 million deal. I mean, I know he's good, but holy freaking crap. You mean to tell me that Tobias Harris is worth 5 years, $180 million, and DeAndre Jordan's only worth 4 years and 40?
Yeah, I know.
Like, that is confusing to me. Chris Middleton for the Bucks, 5 years, $178 million. Woo!
It blows my mind that guys make that much money.
That is bonkers.
Think about it. 3 years from now, Kawhi Leonard will have made a guaranteed $105 million.
So let me put this in perspective for you. Tobias Harris and Kristaps Porzingis both signed a 5-year deal. And Tobias Harris got $22 million more.
Really?
And Porzingis is like...
He's like the second coming of Dirk. That's what they say. He's got all that.
He's going to be like the guy. He is injury prone. He's been hurt a lot. But man, the upside, that's crazy.
I'm sure somebody would do this because I remember they did it when LeBron signed his contract with the Lakers. But I would love to see somebody break down like what that means per minute of each game that these guys play, how much they're getting paid.
And I'm sure that's out there.
Yeah.
Somebody's done that.
Yeah, because it's absurd. I remember like LeBron was getting paid like 10 grand per minute of each game he played or something like that. It's absurd.
It's nuts.
I don't even know if that's right, but that sounds like a lot of money to me.
That's a lot of money.
Anyways, so let's get into some of our favorite, least favorite, all that sort of moves. Let's start with your favorite move.
Yeah.
Which free agent, and maybe just we'll stick with the mostly big guys because some of the other guys are just those tier 2 guys or whatever.
Yeah, and I think in order to not talk about 45 people for 4 hours, let's try to structure this to make it reasonable. So let's start with our favorite. Let's go with our least favorite.
Okay.
Then the most surprising, and then the one that we wish happened, right?
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Let's start with the favorite. So my favorite, this should not be any surprise, is Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Clipper fan, super pumped. I felt like I was like biting my nails off for like 5 days straight because he just was waiting and waiting and waiting. And we know why he was waiting. You know, he was trying to figure out, he's saying, hey guys, like I need you to get Paul George in there, make the trade happen. Once you make that trade happen, I'll sign with you. And so that was a delay, which makes me feel a little better. He wasn't just like yanking us around for five straight days.
Yeah.
I did not see the Paul George thing coming at all.
What a surprising move. That could be a surprising one as well.
Could be a surprising one.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody did, but I was just so nervous that the Clippers were going to end up with nothing after pretty much everybody besides Kawhi and Boogie was off the table. Mm-hmm. The Clippers are sitting there with the same team that they had. And the fact that I got that news Saturday morning was, I was just so excited.
Yeah.
I do have an honorable mention.
Okay.
My honorable mention is Anthony Davis, AD, because I'm so excited about the whole Battle of LA thing. And I was really worried that he was just going to stay in New Orleans, whatever. So the fact that he was the first shoe to drop and he came to the Lakers, and, you know, I love LeBron, big LeBron fan, even though I'm a Clipper fan. And so I think the fact that LeBron has a legitimate chance to win one, if not a few more championships before he retires, makes me really happy.
Yeah.
And this whole Battle of LA thing just sounds like so much fun.
Yeah. I Battle of LA is great. It's great for the NBA because both teams now will be really good, and that's a great market for it to be good in. So my favorite, my favorite simply out of passion was Kemba Walker to the Celtics, because I was afraid that the Celtics maybe would have fallen and not really got anybody, you know, because he was offered the Supermax deal in Charlotte, which is a lot of money. And then if he didn't, I was thinking he was going to go there. And then when Kyrie was for sure going to leave, it's kind of up in the air of like, would anyone actually come to the Celtics? But I think that's a great pickup. I think he's obviously a tremendous talent. He's an all-star, been an all-star in and out, and he's a great scorer. Put him in that locker room with those young guys that can also score. And he's a much better locker room presence than Kyrie was. I think it's a good substitute and a good kind of bridge to hopefully continuing to build the Celtics. But I think if you had to ask me from a basketball perspective what my favorite was, it would have to be Kawhi as well, right? Like, I loved that he went to the Clippers. He went home. He not only went home, he went home and got another star to go with him, which I think was huge. And I'm just excited for him to be back in LA and to have, like you said, the Battle of LA, Lakers and Clippers now both looking good.
Awesome.
So we kind of agree there, which is good. But I think there was really only one thing that I didn't want Kawhi to do, and that was to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, me too.
Right? Like, that was, he had really only three options: Clippers, back to Toronto, or he was going to team up with AD and LeBron in with the Lakers. And I, of the three, I was like, don't do that. Don't do that. And he didn't, which I think was a good move on his part.
Hey, I like your choices.
Good. What about least favorite?
So least favorite, this is easy for me, Klay Thompson. I thought that I mean, at this point, he's the only guy that stayed. So initially I kind of thought like, oh, what a lame-o, like blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, you seem like the only guy that didn't move. And maybe now you're part of a duo of like five or six duos in the league that are going to be really, really threatening, especially once you're healthy. But I wanted him to come initially to the Clippers. I thought Kawhi and Klay would be a great combination. I even thought that if Klay went to the Lakers, that'd be a really cool combination. So him just like being like, yeah, I'm just going to hang out here. I was like, that's just kind of boring. And I was rooting for the most excitement possible, right? And I got everything I could possibly have imagined outside of him.
Yeah.
So that was my least favorite. I thought that he, I mean, his injury probably caused a lot of it, but, you know,
Yeah, fair. I am excited to see the Splash Brothers go back to the Splash Brothers without KD, though.
Yeah.
I think that'll be good for the Bay Area. So my least favorite is a little bit out of spite, but Al Horford to the Philadelphia 76ers for two reasons. One, because he left the Celtics, which sucks. But two, because he joined another Eastern Conference team in Philadelphia, and that they're going to be very good adding him into the pieces that they already had in Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. You add in, he is now can play the four or the five, but he's a stretch four or five, can shoot the three, can defend the perimeter. Like, he's a guy that really helped the Celtics be elite for the couple of years that he was there. And so to lose him is tough. And that is my least favorite, but like, it's my least favorite out of spite, but my actual least favorite, and more because I just don't like the guy, is Jimmy Butler to Miami. I just don't really care about that move.
Yeah. That's a great segue.
Okay.
Into the most surprising.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah.
So I have a few because I was surprised by two or three moves, but my most, the one that surprised me the most because it happened first was Jimmy Butler. Yeah, I was just kind of like, Miami? Like, what a weird choice. Now, having visited Miami, vacationed there a few times, seems like a pretty decent place to live. So I don't blame him for choosing that. But I don't know. He seems like a guy that hasn't really meshed well in most locker rooms. Mm-hmm. Not a great team guy. Obviously a good two-way player, but never really been super successful outside of those years with the Bulls. Mm-hmm. So I saw that move and I was like, that doesn't make a ton of sense. And like, who's in Miami to play with, right? Like, everybody is trying to team up with somebody because they're just going to create all of these awesome duos. They're just going to battle it out to win a championship. And he was like, nah, peace out. I'm just going to kick it on the beach.
Yeah. That's the feeling I got to. He was just like, oh, everyone's trying to win a championship. Nah, man, I just want to be here playing dominoes in Miami. I'm cool. Just give me $140 million guaranteed. I'll come play for you. It's like, what?
You're like, you know, Dwayne Wade's not there anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like, however, are you behind? Or
it may have worked in his favor because now that Oklahoma City is looking to, again, just redo their whole lineup, they're looking to trade Westbrook, who the biggest interest is with Miami. So it could be a Westbrook, Jimmy Butler, which I don't know how that would go. I don't know if they're friends. I don't know, but their personalities just seem like Jimmy Butler kind of seems like a dick and Russell Westbrook seems like a dick, but because he's so emotional, you know, like, I don't know.
I think the same thing about KD and Kyrie though.
Oh yeah. They're both prima donnas. I don't like them.
So like, do two prima donnas work? I mean, maybe they, I don't know, but from an entertainment perspective, I would love to see Westbrook go to Miami. Because that just creates another duo. Like, that's all I want in the playoffs is for, like, the top four or five seeds in each conference to just be two superstars. And then every team you play from the second round on is just superstar versus superstar. Like, that, the playoffs would be unbelievable. And the East, we need to create a little bit more balance. And so to take a superstar from the West, drop them over on the East, just creates a little more balance. And I would like that. So,
yeah.
But that move was weird for me.
This isn't technically I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll do so the most surprising to me was actually D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, I didn't see that coming at all, but I also understand why the Warriors did it, knowing that Klay was going to be out for the majority of the year next year, but still wanting to get another all-star. I mean, he was an all-star, and he had a tremendous year in Brooklyn. So go get what they deemed maybe the best third piece to fit in with those two, let him be the point guard and those other two guys just run around crazy shooting three-pointers. Might not be a bad idea, but it was most surprising in that, like, I didn't even know that was an option. That, I feel like that name didn't come up until, like, way at the end, and then he just signed with them. You know, that's kind of how it all played out. But so that was the most surprising to me.
And that was a trade.
It was a sign-and-trade. He was a restricted free agent.
Okay.
Remember, we looked this up in Anaheim. So yes. Restricted free agent means other teams could offer him and then Brooklyn could match their offer. And
if they matched, they
got him. Yeah. If they matched, they got him. If they did anything less, then he could go anywhere he wanted.
So that was one of my honorable mentions for surprising was D'Angelo Russell. Cause I just don't see how that fits.
Yeah.
He had to go somewhere, right? Because they got Kyrie and they were going to pay two superstars, $25 million a year. And then the other one that I thought of as far as surprising goes was Boogie. Like, I went to LA and I was like, didn't we already see that?
Dang
it. New Orleans?
That's what I was going to say. That was actually one of my least favorites. I didn't even get to that one. I don't know how that's going to go.
Like, they already did that.
Yeah, and they weren't bad.
They weren't bad, but like, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I know that Boogie is a true center. I don't know that AD is a true four because he stretches the floor and he can shoot and blah, blah, blah. But they're so big and dominant that it's hard to have two guys that big and dominant play at the same time. So my initial thought was, and I always say this, and superstars don't obviously agree, but I mean, if he could come off the bench, that would be amazing, right? Like, bring that guy off the bench and just dominate the second team. It's not going to happen. He's going to play, you know, with AD, and LeBron's going to play point guard. We'll talk about that because that's amazing. But that was just really confusing to me. I thought, I didn't know where he's going to go, but I thought initially, no way he goes to the Lakers because we've seen it before. And if it was as successful as everybody thought it was going to be, then they probably would have just stayed together.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like what happened was the Lakers were waiting on Kawhi, obviously didn't get him. And then I think Cousins was kind of the next best option available after all those tier one guys had gone. And then it was kind of just seeing what was left over, and he was probably the best of the rest. The thing I think that hurts Boogie is that in the playoffs, he showed he's a huge liability on defense. He can protect the rim a little bit, but when teams set pick and rolls and he's got to guard the perimeter, he couldn't do it. Yeah. He literally couldn't stop anybody on Toronto. I mean, Fred VanVleet was going by him. Who's Fred VanVleet?
And in today's NBA, that is so dangerous.
Exactly. So I think that, and that's probably why they only gave him $3.5 million, because it's kind of like, hey, come for a year. If it works out, cool. Maybe we'll sign you again for another contract after that and continue. But if it doesn't, then at least it's just the 1 year. And because they're going to be good with AD and LeBron no matter what.
Dude, the big guys are getting screwed in today's NBA.
They are.
Like, it's just not what's needed. Like, you need the stretch four, you need the wings, you need a stud point guard, you need 3-point shooters, 3-and-D guys. Centers just aren't valued. I mean, look at DeAndre Jordan getting 4 years, $40 million. Boogie Cousins, who was a legit 25-and-13 guy for like 4 years.
Yep.
Like, first team, all NBA, like, stud, is getting $3.5 million.
I know.
And Tobias Harris is getting 40. Like, ugh. He's hurt. So right. Like, they don't know how he's going to come back and this and that, but yeah, that's the death of the center.
Well, and I think the centers in today's game need to do two things really well. They need to be able to protect the perimeter if they get switched onto a guy and at least keep somebody in front and make them shoot a jump shot over them. Or they need to rebound and be able to catch lob dunks when they roll to the rim on the offensive side. When, you know, they set the on ball, the point guard, whether it's Westbrook, Steph, whoever it is trying to make something happen. They roll to the rim, can catch a dunk, an alley-oop dunk, and just slam it home, right? Like, basically that's what it's become for the most part, which is not a bad thing, right? I mean, that's still a necessary part of the game because you also see it on the flip side. Like, if a team tries to go small ball, like the Warriors did, and, you know, somebody leaves in a center, it's tough for Iguodala to guard a 7-footer. So there is a little bit of, like, still needing a big man, but they need to have certain characteristics that can help.
I mean, I think the new NBA is, you've started to see the shift in this, just how they've set up the All-Star game. It goes front court, back court. Like, they don't even do the positions, right? And I think the new NBA is 1-2-3-3-4.
Yeah,
true. Right? True point guard, because there's still those out there. And I think it's more of a wing league than anything, but point guards are still really, really important. And shooting guards, there's a bunch of good shooting guards out there, although it's a position that's kind of hit and miss. You have a couple wings, and you have a really, really good stretch four that can play defense. He's long and can block shots. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I know.
Like, you don't need a Boogie. You don't need a DeAndre Jordan. You don't need, I mean, even Marcus Saul is a four, really, if you think about it, right?
Yeah,
the fact that he could shoot 20-foot jumpers, like, he's not a Shaq. He's not Boogie Cousins. Like,
he's 7 feet, but he doesn't necessarily want to be in the post.
Yeah, Dirk is 7 feet. Freaking Kevin Durant's an inch away from 7 feet. Like, that the height thing is, it's the game. The game is changing, man. It's nuts.
It's fun. But that was going to be, I forgot to bring this up too, one of my ones that I liked, and it wasn't even a free agency thing. It was a trade after Jimmy Butler went, was Hassan Whiteside, center, going to the Portland Trailblazers. Yeah. Because I think they upgraded at that position, getting him over Myers Leonard.
Is that who they lost?
Yeah. Myers Leonard had one good game in the playoffs where he scored like 20 points in the first half of one game and then ended the game with like 20 points. So he didn't do too much.
Man, but I swear they're in the wrong conference, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, but I think you have obviously CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard, who do most of the scoring. You just want a guy that is long and can rebound for you. And like I said, play good defense on the perimeter. And I think Hassan Whiteside does that a little bit for them.
Yeah, but they're so small. Like Dame and CJ are small. Like, how are Dame and CJ going to – what if Paul George and Kawhi are guarding him? Like, take a seat. You're not going to score for a second. You know what I mean? Like, look at the Lakers, LeBron, AD, Boogie. Like, they have so much length.
Yeah.
Like, two little tiny guys. I mean, because they're not Steph and Clay. Steph and Clay can pull the trigger before you can even blink from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, they're not those two.
Yeah.
So that's true. They're going to have a tough go.
They will. But I think it's a good piece to at least give them somewhat of a chance with what's going on in the West.
Yeah, they did what they could.
I mean, they got to the Western Conference Finals this year.
Yeah, they had a great year. Absolutely. Yeah. What did you wish would happen?
Oh.
Are we there yet?
Yeah. We are there yet. Will happen the next time around because of the contract, the way they did the contract, but I really was hoping Kawhi could figure out a way to partner with the Greek Freak. That's what I wanted.
Oh my gosh.
I want those two to be on the same team because I think that would be a tremendous duo.
I mean, that goes without saying. Holy smokers.
Yeah. So I didn't know if that was even a possibility. So that one's kind of outlandish, but I think, I don't know. I was hoping that when I heard talks about Kawhi and KD teaming up, I thought that might be a really, really good duo too. But then KD decided to go to the Nets instead of the Clippers. So that's how that ended up. But I think those two guys, I feel like Kawhi's personality would be a good balance with KD's personality. And so that duo, I could have maybe wrapped my brain around a little bit more because you don't have KD and Kyrie who are both just, I can't stand them.
I don't like either one of them.
Yeah. So I thought basketball wise, that could have been a good duo. And especially if they went to the Clippers, I thought that could have been pretty cool.
So with my wish, I talked a little bit about earlier how Clay stayed and I wish he would have went to the Clippers and blah, blah, blah. With that said, I'm incredibly excited about how everything turned out. So I don't have a ton of regrets. I loved the fact that so many people changed teams. I really could not have wished for a better free agency. With that said, for the second time, a lot of things being said. This is a podcast. That's kind of what you do, right?
Yeah, true. That's a good point.
I wanted JJ back. I wanted to get my boy back to the Clippers, man. I wanted him to move. I wanted him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Another shooter. I absolutely loved watching him when he was with the Clippers. He's so good off the ball, and he's good in the clutch, and he's all tatted up now.
He's got a little bad boy in him now.
Yeah, and I follow him on Instagram, and he's got a cool little family, and I wanted JJ back. That way I could buy like a JJ Redick Clippers jersey, and hopefully he'd sign like 1 3- or 4-year contract and stay there forever. And
yeah,
he went to Charlotte, which is just so boring. Charlotte?
Is that where he went?
New Orleans.
Oh, ooh.
I get those mixed up all the time. Yeah.
Dang, so that starting lineup is going to be Lonzo, him.
Zion,
Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, something like that. I don't know who their big is. Don't they have Drew Holiday too? Golly, they're going to be pretty good.
Drew Holiday, JJ, Zion, Brandon Ingram, and Hart?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Zion isn't really like a big. Neither is Brandon Ingram. He's more.
I think Zion can play the three. That's probably as big as he can go.
Seven? Yeah.
Maybe 6'8".
I mean, he's a freak.
Freak. Yeah. But he got hurt already.
Yeah, he hurt his knee or something, right?
So that makes me really freaking nervous, dude. Like, I'm not a New Orleans fan, so I can care less. But I just love watching greatness. He got hurt at Duke. Had to sit out some games, came back in the NCAA tournament, plays in his first NBA Summer League game, tweaks his knee, has to sit out a little bit. The fact that a 19-year-old kid having to sit out basketball games, especially, like, listen, he's not Klay Thompson. He's not standing there taking little 6-foot jumps and banging threes. He's banking on his incredible athleticism and strength.
True.
And injury's just going to kill that. So he's got to drop some LBs, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of like Blake Griffin. that same sort of like just it, or Westbrook even like that same sort of like relying on athleticism, like just fierce jumping all the time. That's kind of his game. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of physicality on the knees and the body if he's not.
Yeah, it's dangerous. It's
tough.
Even going back to Amari Stoudemire. Amari Stoudemire came in the league for the first 3 years in the NBA. He dunked on everybody. If you let him within 6 feet of the rim, he'd posterize you. Mm-hmm. And then he got hurt, and it was knees, and it was back, and it's not sustainable. And so that kind of LeBron's like really the only guy that's done it. Like LeBron's been so good at staying healthy for 16 years with how like athletic he plays. It's pretty unbelievable.
But he's also adapted his game. Like he's adapted his game to where he likes to go into the post. He likes to go to like the elbow, mm-hmm. kind of rely a little bit more like Kobe ended doing at the end of his career, like more the fadeaway, the jump shot, that sort of deal. And that saves a lot of pain and injury from happening. If you kind of, like you said, Clay, if you're only jumping 6 inches off the ground to shoot a three, you know, 20 times a game, it's not the same as going up 20 times for a dunk on somebody. So I don't know. All in all, though, an interesting offseason in the NBA.
Yeah, that is like the understatement of the year.
So with all the movement, obviously the dust has settled. Let's do some way too early predictions. That's what we're good here for on the podcast, right? We could throw around predictions all we want. That's our job.
It's like the most fun thing to do. So let's see. It's July. So nothing of consequence will happen until December. That's the perfect time to make predictions.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. All right. Let's start with, because I think the biggest discussion is the Battle of LA. Who do you predict will have a better record next year, the Lakers or the Clippers?
Better record. I'm going to go Clippers. Las Vegas agrees with me.
Oh, okay.
I also think that they have a younger team, and it's not necessarily that AD is not young, because he is. He's pretty much the same age as Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but LeBron is in the back end of his prime, if in his prime at all. And I do think that Kawhi and Toronto taking a very, health management approach. Right. For the most part, he set out 20 games. They're concerned about him re-aggravating an injury, this and that. I think that teams took notice of that, and they understand that you don't have to be the number one seed to win a championship. And it's more important that you get your team to the playoffs healthy. With LeBron at his age, I think the most important thing for the Lakers is for LeBron to be firing at 110% come the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Whether that's the one seed or the seven seed. Like, right. It doesn't matter. Because if that team is firing at all cylinders, they could beat anybody, whether they have home court or not. So with that said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers get the fifth or the sixth seed just because they want their team to be healthy. And the Clippers, they're younger, and I don't necessarily think that load management, which is what I meant to say initially, is that big of an issue for them.
Fair. I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm going to have to agree that the Clippers will have a better record at the end of the regular season, because I think that they also have a little bit of a better supporting cast right now. Patrick Beverley has proved to be a pretty solid point guard and great defensively. They have a really young center. I don't remember his name. Zubac, I think, or something like that.
Zubac, yeah.
Yeah, who's supposed to be pretty athletic, can stretch it a little bit too. So I don't know. Who's their like shooting guard? I think they signed somebody else too.
I forget his name.
Yeah, I don't know who it is at the moment, but I just feel like those two pieces, I don't know. I think Kuzma's good, but I think that he still has a lot of growing up to do, and a lot of his game's got to get a little bit better. And then, you know, you have what, Rondo? I don't know. Kentavious Pope or Caldwell Pope, whatever that guy's name is. I don't know.
KCP?
Yeah, I just like... From what I see, I like the Clippers supporting cast a little bit better right now, in addition to obviously having what could argue the best player on the planet right now in Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I still think that LeBron James is the best player on the planet if he's healthy. But I would like to talk about the Rondo thing for a second, because the Lakers did announce that LeBron James is going to start at point guard.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely love. I think that I love the idea of him just owning the ball every time down the floor. He was wearing in practice or something, like a little like ninja headband that had like a little tie in the back or whatever. And it said like Ninja LeBron at point guard. And I was like, this is going to be so much fun to watch, because he is a de facto point guard already, right?
Yeah.
Like, he carries the ball a lot. He makes a lot of the passes. Like, yeah, some of the guys that he's played with in Miami and Cleveland have handled the ball. This, I think Kyrie probably has taken possessions from him more than anybody. But he really is a Magic Johnson type. And I think if he can be the guy to control the ball and dish to AD and really run that offense, not only could they be really good, but that would be really, really fun to watch. So I don't know if does Rondo come off the bench? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, because Rondo doesn't add much as a shooter either to spread the floor. So if he's not your primary ball handler getting your offense set up, he's probably not adding a ton of value, only because...
Or zero value.
I mean, he's a pretty good defender, right? So like, if you want to stick him on the other team's point guard and have him kind of try and lock him up all game, he's a good defender. But I just don't know if he adds much on the other end that you would want to take that trade off.
Yeah, I feel like he probably comes off the bench.
Yeah.
But it'll be really interesting. And I got to try to get to one of those games this year.
Oh, yeah. That would be a lot of fun to go to Clippers Lakers for sure. Yeah. But the Lakers did also sign Danny Green.
They did. You're right.
That's a pretty good. That's a good. I thought he was going to wait to see where Kawhi went, which is what he said. And he did wait. And then he went to the other team in the same city. But he did wait. He didn't lie about that. I thought he was just going to follow Kawhi wherever he went, but he ended up with the Lakers. So I think that's a nice piece, because when he is shooting well, he's like a 46 or 47% three-point shooter, and he's a good defender. That's huge.
That is really, really big. And they did need shooters. And so getting Danny Green was big. I was worried for them, because after they didn't get Kawhi, and then Paul George went to the Clippers, I thought, you know, what pieces are left for the Lakers to pick up to fill those voids? Because they do have two of the best five players in the NBA, LeBron and AD, but they had nobody else. Their depth was like gone.
Well, they only had like seven people on their entire roster for a little while. they couldn't even field a full team for a little bit.
Like, the coach is playing in summer league. Like, he's in there like being point guard, like, just shoot.
I'm just going to stand in the corner. That's all. I'm just going to stand over here.
please don't pass it to me.
All I know is I'll sign for the league minimum if they need another guy.
Right.
I'll just sit on the end of the bench.
but to get Boogie, as much as I think it's weird, and to get Danny Green, those are big pickups. And whether Boogie comes off the bench or not, whether Rondo comes off the bench or not, they got some veteran guys that they know that can score points, can play some decent defense. And so I feel like they rounded out their team enough to definitely compete with the Clippers. But when it comes to regular season record, it's youth and depth, and the Clippers have all of that.
Yeah, fair. Okay, well, I'm excited to see what happens, to be honest. You still think LeBron's better than Kawhi right now?
If he's healthy, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You forget, before LeBron got hurt last year, he was averaging like 28 and 8.
Fair.
He was averaging like 28, 8, and 7.
It's hard for me to say that after what Kawhi just did through the whole regular season, and he had like one of the best playoffs in the history of the NBA.
Mm. Guess who else has had just a very similar playoff to him? LeBron, like three times.
So here's also where the discussion goes. If Kawhi wins another one with the Clippers, where does he fall in the discussion of greatest players?
Dude, I wanted to bring that up, because winning two NBA finals, winning two championships and two NBA finals MVPs with two different teams is very impressive.
Yeah. Just
by itself. I mean, the amount of players that have two NBA finals MVPs is very limited. The amount of players that have two NBA finals MVPs with two different teams is three people.
Yeah. Who I don't even know who it is.
It's Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James.
KD. No, KD has them with the same.
And I think it's like Jerry West.
Oh,
somebody like that. It's like an old school dude.
Yeah.
But it's LeBron. It's LeBron, Kawhi, and some old dude. Right.
Well, so like, if he wins another one, he has the same amount as LeBron.
Same amount of rings.
And NBA Finals MVP.
But here's what you have to remember. Kawhi as amazing of a runs as he's had, he's never won a regular season MVP. He's never won a scoring title. You got to look at the amount of first team all defense, first team all star. Like, there's a whole bunch of other stats that go into being the best of all time.
Yeah, that's just a good point.
But you're right. I mean, if he wins another championship, you've got to throw him in the top 10.
Yeah,
top 12.
Yeah, I mean,
here's the thing: Kobe is like number 10 all time, number 8 all time, according to most people. Is he better than Kobe?
I mean, he's still only what, 28?
Big shoes to fill, but I mean, two NBA Finals MVPs. You know who has two NBA Finals MVPs? Kobe.
Yeah.
Kobe only has two.
You know who has three? Tim Duncan.
Best power forward of all time? Hey, I'll give him that.
Kawhi is 28 years old.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of time left.
28 years old.
You got to remember, it's also the persona, right? It's the personality. It's the marketability. He doesn't have – he's not the Mamba. He's not taking his talents to South Beach on ESPN and a 5 p.m. special. Like, he doesn't promote himself like those other players do. He kind of sits back and lets his basketball game do the talking. And that – I feel like that hinders his stardom and his fame more than others.
That's a good point.
And I think, you know – luckily, we can look at basketballreference.com or whatever that website is that does awesome comparisons and see who compares to who. But if he wins another championship, or if he wins like two more championships, you got to throw him up there.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I'm looking at stats right now. Three-time All-Star, five-time All-Defensive, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, three-time All-NBA.
He's only a three-time All-Star?
Yeah.
Three times, he's 28. Dude, LeBron was like a 9-time All-Star at that point. That hurts. Yeah,
but you think about it, like he couldn't really shoot when he came into the league. And he was with Tim Duncan and Tony Parker.
I know, that hurts.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about calling him a really good player. We're not talking about calling him a star in today's league. We're talking about the best of the best of the best.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
right. So every little tiny thing that he doesn't do absolutely perfect hurts his resume. And being almost 30 and only having three All-Star appearances, like, people freaking vote for that. You don't even have to be good. Kevin Garnett's still getting All-Star votes. Kobe is still getting All-Star votes.
Kobe in his 20th season made the All-Star team and he only played like 9 games.
Exactly. It's not that hard. Just get on social media and start liking stuff. You know?
You're right. LeBron only didn't make an All-Star game his rookie year.
And he was rookie of the year.
And he was rookie.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. How did he not make an All-Star as Rookie of the Year?
Because
I guess it's two different things.
He's in Cleveland. People are worried about, you know, getting foreclosed on and their jobs. And that's really disrespectful to Cleveland. But I had to make up something. And I don't feel like there's that many people from Cleveland listen to our podcast. So I was willing to take that chance.
Fair point.
Sorry, Cleveland.
Anyways, I think in another couple of years, it'll be a really good discussion to have if he wins another couple.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If he wins one more, we have to start to talk about it, which is all I want to do is just start to talk about it.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. So we both have the Clippers with the better record between the two LA teams. Let's talk about who comes out of the East and who comes out of the West with everything with all the new teams, all the new stars and all the new cities. Who do you like coming out of the East? Let's start there.
Sure. Let's start with the East. I'm going to go Bucks, number one seed. I feel like Giannis has something to prove after not having the playoff performance that he wanted. You know, he wanted to get to the finals and just couldn't do it. And that team kept their core. And in today's NBA, there's not a lot of continuity, right? Especially after the free agency. There's a whole bunch of people that are not used to playing with other people. Bucks don't have that. Mm-hmm. Bucks have Eric Bledsoe. They got Chris Middleton, who they signed to like a 9-year billion-dollar deal. They still got Giannis. I mean, they have the same team, and they can only get better and better, and they got a good coach. I think the Sixers are as good as they were before. They lost Jimmy Butler, but they gained Al Horford.
Yeah.
They lost JJ, which kind of hurts.
Yeah, it does.
But Ben Simmons is only going to get better. Joel Embiid's only going to get better.
Well, and don't forget, the Sixers almost beat Toronto in the playoffs. They lost in Game 7 on Kawhi's fadeaway three-point shot in the corner. Had that knock on in, they go to overtime. Who knows what happens, right? But that's not how it ended up. But I just mean they took the champ to the brink of game seven.
That is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Man.
So they're good, right? I mean, bottom line.
Yeah, they're good. And they're good.
Sixers were good last year. They kept most of their core guys, so they're gonna be good again.
They're good and they're young.
I know, and I don't like to say that.
Like really freaking young. Like 25 young. Simmons and Joel Embiid are
like 25, 26.
Are like 25. And they are like Ben Simmons is going to learn how to shoot. Joel Embiid is going to learn how to like keep himself healthy and be a little better in the post. And that team's going to be nasty.
Yeah. I know. I don't like it. Okay. So you still have the Bucks coming out.
I saw the Bucks coming out. Sixers, 2 seed. I got Boston as a 3 seed. I have the Pacers as the 4 seed. Pacers have a lot of guys coming back. They got a lot of guys on the up and up.
And they signed Malcolm Brogdon from the Bucks, who had a really good season last year.
Yeah, so I think they're going to be better than people expect. The East is not that deep outside of those four teams. You have the Nets, but they don't have KD.
Yeah.
Kyrie's going to – so many Ks. Kyrie's going to be playing with a brand new team, and so they're probably going to go through some growing pains, which I'm sure Kyrie will bitch about.
Sure. 100%.
Just get ready for the headlines, right? Yeah. Like, my coach sucks. This offense is terrible.
That's what we should do. When NBA season rolls back around, we should try and predict what Kyrie's going to say in each month at some point.
Like, I'm sure if he has a bad few games, it's not his fault, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely not his fault.
It's KD's fault. The guy has a torn, whatever, Achilles. Like, yeah, it's still his fault.
He's rehabbing in the back. He's making a bunch of noise.
Oh, anyways. Okay.
That's my East. You go.
So this is really difficult for me because I think that also don't forget just 2 years ago without Kyrie, the Celtics made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and took who did they take to the
– Wait, 2 years ago?
Yeah, when the Celtics lost to who in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Wasn't that Cleveland?
Oh, Cleveland. Yeah, exactly, with LeBron still in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So I think they're bringing all of those guys back, plus you add a dynamic scorer like Kemba Walker. I really think that they have the potential, without the distraction of Kyrie Irving in the locker room, to come out of the East. They're young, they're long, they're athletic, they all play defense, they all can shoot, they all can score. Like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they still have Marcus, I don't know which Morris, one of the Morris twins. Like they've got pieces. Having said that, I think that it's going to come down to them or Philadelphia. I don't like Philly, so I don't like to say that, but I had to.
You have Milwaukee as a 3 seed or what?
Well, I mean, for me, it's like you said, I don't think the seeding matters. I'm talking more about who makes a run in the playoffs. And I think that it's going to come down to one of those two teams. I think that Giannis is really good, but I'm not sure how good Chris Middleton is as a number two year in and year out. I think that's still up for debate.
They just paid him $40 million. He better be good.
They paid a bunch of people $40 million. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's the barometer anymore. Because
if that was Boogie, I'd be pissed. I gotta live in LA. My condo probably costs like $17,000 a month. And they only pay me 3.5. Like, ouch. Chris Middleton's living in Milwaukee. His condo cost him like $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
And he got paid $39 million. He's living.
All these guys should try to move to Cleveland, though, if that was the case, right?
Yeah, they're like, a max contract in Cleveland's like $500,000 a year. That's amazing.
Oh, but yeah, so I'm going to pick the Celtics, but I'm going to say that it comes down to the Celtics or the Sixers because – that's my caveat.
Okay.
So let's go to the West.
Okay. In the West.
Wait, but we didn't even throw in the wrench. What if Westbrook goes to Miami? Does that change?
Not for me.
They'll be in the bottom four. They'll be in the top eight, but the bottom four of the top eight.
I think it'll be exciting, but I don't think they threaten Milwaukee, Philly, Boston.
Yeah, fair. It's a fair point.
I just don't. Personality-wise, there'll be a brand new team. Russ will put up a triple double, but
yeah,
I don't know. And who do they have around them? Like,
nothing
I just
anymore. Triple doubles mean nothing anymore.
Apparently not. Apparently not.
Okay, so West. Who do you got coming out of the West?
In the West, my seeding is Clippers, because I feel like they have an incredible defensive team, and they're my team.
Yeah.
And I have the Nuggets, because I feel like they have a ton of talent coming back. They have the exact same team that they had last year. They're really, really good last year. And I, like I said earlier, I feel like continuity is rare after all this crazy movement in free agency.
Yeah.
The Rockets is a 3 seed because they didn't make a lot of moves either, but they have the same team. I think the hype and the arguments between Chris Paul and James Harden is a little bit overblown. And they threaten Golden State every single year. Why wouldn't they do it to the rest of the West again? At the Lakers as a 4 seed, only because I feel like they rest a lot of guys, and so they end up coming in 4th or 5th, and they don't really care if they get the seeding.
Yeah.
As far as coming out, I think it's the Clippers. I mean, gosh, that just would just make
there's my there's too many here. Good teams in the West.
But there's so many good teams in the West. But I just can't. I can't see a team that has this much talent, this much young talent, that plays such good defense. Defense is so important in the playoffs. And the Clippers have Kawhi, Paul George, and Patrick Beverley. If those guys stay healthy, I just don't know that the Nuggets or the Rockets or the Lakers can knock them off. But there's so much strength in the West. Like, for all I know, dude, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Rockets, the Lakers, Utah.
Utah, you didn't bring up Utah until now. They signed Michael Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic from the Pacers, and they have Donovan Mitchell, and what's the 7-footer, the defensive player of the year?
Oh,
what's his name?
Gosh, dang it.
It's got like a French name. Why are we drawing a blank? Because we haven't done this in a couple weeks. That's why. I blame it on that. Actually, I blame Kyrie Irving. He made me forget this. But you know who I'm talking about. So they have
Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert. Yes.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah, so they're going to be good.
I know. That's why I brought them into the conversation, because I think really in the West at this point, whoever brings the most healthy team, the hottest healthy team into the playoffs, they go to the finals. Like, it's that competitive,
which
I freaking love, because I've told you in the bet that you lost about the Warriors winning 1.5 championships or whatever it is, unless they somehow win this year, that I hate the fact that we kind of know who's going to win. I hate Alabama and Clemson every year. I hate Golden State every year. I hate all this stuff. And the fact that now we have such parity in the NBA where there's like 8 teams with a duo that's a star-studded. Like, the Western Conference this year is going to be so much fun to watch.
And
the first round in the playoffs is going to be so exciting.
Yeah. You didn't even talk about Portland either. It's like Portland. It's crazy. There's a legitimate, 7 teams that like could definitely win coming out of the West.
What about the Mavs? The Mavs got Porzingis, and they have
Doncic,
Luka.
Yeah. Golly. Oof.
Nasty.
This is making me sweat a little bit, getting excited about it. Or do I need to turn my air conditioning up? I don't know.
I've been sweating the whole time. That's a personal problem. So to wrap it up, give me an NBA Finals. If you had to predict right now, who do you got in the Finals?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'm going to harken back, and I think we're going to finally get Lakers-Celtics.
What?
I think the Clippers will have a tremendous – I think they'll have a better, regular season. But LeBron in the playoffs is just something that you cannot deny, no matter what, right?
So true.
So and then you add that onto the fact that now he's got AD, like, that's just a lot of star power with a guy that was already so dominant in the playoffs. So I'm gonna say that because I would love to see it. Celtics Lakers.
I'm gonna go Clippers Sixers.
Okay.
It's hard for me to not choose the Clippers. I think that they've just, like I said, that they have so much defensive perimeter talent.
Yeah.
And I just think they have more depth and they're young, and I don't see them getting hurt. And I don't know that the Bucks offense works in the playoffs. Like, it's just, I don't know that they figured out like how to use Giannis the best with him driving the lane. And I don't know if they have the team around him to really like capitalize on how good he is. And so I think that the Sixers are the second best team
in
the East. I do think that Boston threatens, absolutely, but the Sixers have so much young talent. They have to get better every year. Mm-hmm. They have to be upset with how delayed lost last year's Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
The buzzer beater. Like they could have been in the finals like that. And who knows what could happen with KD getting hurt and Klay getting hurt if they could have won the championship.
Yeah. They probably would have had a legitimate shot had that shot not gone in and they won in overtime.
But with that said, dude, it's all up in the air.
It's all
like there's I'm looking at like the like Vegas odds for the seeds in each conference, and
yeah,
it could be one of five teams in each conference. It really could.
Basically, we just talked for about an hour to come to the conclusion that we have no freaking idea what could happen, but yeah, we love every second of it,
which is the best possible outcome. Yeah. Like it's going to be so much fun to watch. And I just like, I normally don't watch NBA that much until probably February.
Right.
Because I'm just like both of us, like all in NFL, yeah. NCAA football.
Yeah.
12 all the way until January. And then once like, you know, all the bowl games happen and we're in the NFL playoffs. So like, I'll start to pay attention and like make sure I know what's going on. But this year, I might be just all about it, like right from the jump.
Yeah. And there's so many storylines already, you know, like as the season is just going to start with all the new players on all the new teams, like who actually clicks together, who doesn't click together, like yeah, because like, they don't click, what locker room just gets set on fire, you know, like all those stories.
Like I want to watch the first game the Lakers play. I want to watch the first game the Clippers play. I want to see the first time the Lakers play the Clippers, even if it's like the eighth game of the season, but just to see like how they mesh, who's playing. Like, I yeah. don't know. They're just, it's awesome. Agreed.
Having said that, we are eerily close to the start of college football season, which I am also very pumped for.
Gosh.
And we will come, we'll get all into that as we get into August, but that's just around the corner and I'm pretty stoked.
Me too. Next week, gonna talk a little bit about golf.
Yes.
The Open Championship next week. Let's talk a little bit about the U.S. Open, the one that Gary Woodland won. All the tournaments have taken place since then. We're gonna get really into the meat of the golf season with the Open Championship, with the WGC in Memphis, with the FedEx Cup playoffs. So we have a little bit of sports to carry us from now until college football starts in the end of August, which is perfect. Super excited! It's a great time of the year.
Yeah, it's a great time of year. We're not going to do a blitz package because we literally just talked for a very long time. And I feel like I don't really have any good blitz package questions up my sleeve. I didn't come prepared tonight, which is not a good podcast host, you know, characteristic, but whatever. It is what it is.
We had plenty to talk about.
So anything else before we get going or can I draw?
Now let me welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West, a state that's a touchable like Elliot Ness. The
track, yeah, I think we're good.
To your chest, got the best for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb ass him be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimps be on a mission for them greens. Lean, mean, money making machines serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years.